Hi everyone, welcome to The Running Gamer, the show where I, the running gamer, take a victim, I mean volunteer, and explain the plot of a video game. And then Chris is back for another episode, and we're doing brand new games here today, so he has no idea what we're doing. But Chris, first off, start off by saying hi to the internet for me.
You sounded so exhausted when you started this off. Hello everybody.
Yeah, it's been a long couple of weeks for myself, to be quite honest. But yes, I'm a little tired, but
yeah,
we're here. But yeah, we are here to talk about a game series. We're going to start with the very first game, and then we're going to do the second game, because I just literally finished it a few days ago. And then it is called A Plague's Tale, in a sense.
Okay. I feel like I've seen that on the internet somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. I streamed the first Plague's Tale on my Twitch account about a year ago. So anyone that has followed me outside of podcasting, you have seen me play this game before. And then I got the second one and I streamed it for about 2 hours and then just kept playing it without being on stream. So my bad. But I'm taking it up by giving this own episode. So there you go. There you go. But we're tackling the first game, so are you ready? Because we're going to talk about some depressing shit.
Let's do it.
Awesome. Awesome. So, Plague's Tale, Innocence. In both games, you play as a 15-year-old girl named Amicia DeRue. Both games are third person, survival, stealth games. And as you can tell from the title, it's centered around the plague or the Black Death, or as the game refers it as, the Bite. So it is 1348. Amicia is a little French girl, noble descent. Father, like, I don't really pay attention to her father because, spoiler alert, he does not make it very long, but he's like some bigwig. Her mom's an alchemist, and it's taking place during the Hundred Years' War, if you are a history buff. No, not a history buff.
I am not a history buff. I was a science guy.
Okay, well, that line was for someone out there. Amicia has a five-year-old little brother named Hugo. Hugo has been very, very sick since the day he's been born, unfortunately. Whereas their mother has been really taking care of them and sheltering them to try to get a cure for some unknown disease. It caused them a lot of pain. So Amicia kind of learns how to hunt and just now starts learning how to defend herself. So she gets a little slingshot and uses to like hit targets with rocks. And like that's kind of like your main weapon throughout both of these games, is taking out people with rocks. But she's also a 15-year-old little girl, so she cannot be in a straight-up fight with these people. So that caused some very frustrating moments when you fuck up the stealth in the game. But anyway, out of nowhere, she does have a dog named Lion.
Nice.
The dog falls down a hill. Amicia goes to try to find her dog, and out of nowhere the dog's like whimpering and freaking out, and there's like this hole that like opens up and the dog falls in the hole, and then like the dog gets eaten and consumed by an unknown creature. Whoa. And Amicia's like, oh, that is not cool, I'm gonna run. And then all the French Inquisition troops just start ransacking their little castle area. Amicia breaks into the castle area to find her brother. Her brother's obviously freaking out, as any five-year-old would do. And all of the servants and all of the farmers are getting slaughtered left and right. Their mom, whose name's Beatrice, but I'm just going to say mother, just to keep it simple, helps the children escape and to find a doctor that she's been working with that's like on the outskirts of town. And then she is presumably assumed to be killed during this escape.
Okay.
Oh, and also these creatures are later to be shown as hordes of rats, like millions of rats.
The one that ate the dog?
Yep. Rats.
Gross. I mean, makes sense with the plague, but that's unrelated to the people storming the castle, right?
Yeah, it's unrelated. We think.
Ooh.
Stay tuned. But you learned that these rats are what started the plague. They started the first plague. So a little history lesson. There was a plague before the one that we think of here today. We think of the one that wiped out 1/3 of the population in Europe, which is commonly referred to as the Black Death, where this game takes place in. There was one beforehand in like 500 AD or somewhere around there. Like the very first plague ever recorded, just the Justinian plague. I'm not sure if I'm saying that right, but just so you know, there was one plague before that one, and then now this the second really big and bad one. And you know, you can say we're going through our like fourth or fifth one right now, depending on who you talk to. moving on, that joke was not for everyone, but for those of you that laughed, thank you.
Well, what's funny is I thought this game was going to be about this girl like trying to stay like 6 feet away from people all the time. Someone comes close, it's like, nope, like stealth left.
Well, it's people do get quarantined in it if you like the rats do give people the Black Death. So there is no element of that in the gameplay. How the rats factor into gameplay is basically these rats only operate in night or in dark places. They hate sunlight and they hate light in general. So as like the cities you explore or you're in start getting filled up with these rats, you use torches and other lightning light sources to like keep them away from you, because once they like get on you, they basically eat people and creature and animals alive.
Thanks.
Yeah, so these rats are not like the rats you think of in real life where they swarm you and they'll eat you alive instantly and it's instant death, but you can use that to your advantage because, as I said before, most of this game is stealth based. So you end up like all the guards and all the soldiers are walking around with their torches. You eventually learn how to use alchemy to like put out fires from a distance, so you can like put out their torches and then like the rats eat up the guards for you. And then you eventually learn how to like start fires from a distance, so you can make your own bonfires or torches light up whenever you need to. And eventually you learn how to lure them using different alchemy techniques throughout the course of the game. So you really got to be smart about your resources and smart about, you know, planning and not just running through it like a Call of Duty as one would do. So back to the story. The two kids are wanted by the Inquisition and they're having to evade basically everyone, because the Inquisition is basically say, you help us find these kids or we'll kill you. So basically every single person they run into is trying to catch them. So yeah, she is trying to avoid them, you know, staying 6 feet away from them. So I guess you're partly right.
Yep.
They do eventually reach the doctor's farm. They find that he's caught the actual plague and he's dying. But he has an apprentice that is there who has been trying to nurse him back to health. He's learning alchemy. He literally just started about a month ago. It's like his first day in the field. He's stressed. My man's stressed. His name's Lucas, by the way. And he's like, hey, I'm the best you got. I learned from this guy for as much as I can for a short amount of time, but I want to learn. And your mother is a great alchemist too, so I can learn and help and blah, blah, blah. So they take Lucas along for the ride. As Lucas is kind of looking over Hugo and they're trying to avoid all these people that are trying to find them, Lucas kind of figures out that like the reason why Hugo's been sick for all his life and what's really going on is Hugo is a carrier of a supernatural evil called the Markula.
Markula?
No, Markula. I just struggle to say that word. Basically, it is a super rare disease that's only been seen one other time. And apparently, Amicia and Hugo's bloodline is the one that carries the disease. And it woken up in Hugo. And basically, you can trace Hugo and Amicia's bloodline all the way back to the first carrier who had this disease, which was around the 500 timeline when the first plague hit.
Gotcha.
So they reunite with their mom, figuring out that she was actually captured instead of put in, instead of killed. It was actually a trap the whole entire time, because the Inquisition is actually trying to capture Hugo and use his blood, because they knew he was the carrier of this ancient super natural evil disease. And while they're trying to like figure out where their mom is and save her, Lucas is trying to find this old ancient book so he can give an elixir to help Hugo. Amicia finds the book and is able to rescue these two orphans. The orphans join the gang along with a young blacksmith who starts making armor for everyone, so everyone's somewhat protected and not just running around trying to fight Inquisition with nothing. Eventually, they do go after and find their mom. It is revealed that Amicia decides not to tell Hugo, not to get Hugo excited, because at any point in time, their mom could be killed, or like they could fail, and they don't want to stress out Hugo enough. That pisses Hugo off, so he runs away. Amicia and Lucas go after him. When they Hugo finds their mom first, and is actually discovered that the reason why the Inquisition wants Hugo's blood is because the carrier of the disease can actually control all of the rats.
So I knew there was a twist, like something where it's like, this disease doesn't like, there's got to be something there. Okay.
Yes. So the carrier of the disease controls all the rats, and basically every town and every place that they've been around, and Hugo gets stressed out very easily. Every time he gets stressed out, he's accidentally summoning the rats to the place. So until he learns how to control it, or until he can like get rid of the disease, and that's a constant thing. The leader of the Inquisition, who I'm not going to even bother saying his name because he's just the main bad guy, is basically what's it called? A bishop.
Yeah.
He wants to take over the world, take over the Pope's job, and just be the ruler of the world using all the rats. He's able to, since Hugo's only 5 and he can't really control the power very well, when he's trying to protect his mother, he passes out. They take his mother and Hugo. The leader injects himself with Hugo's blood so he can now use the same power to control the rats as well. And he's able to engineer a special type of rats that only he can control, while Hugo can control no normal rats. Amicia finally finds them, escapes, finds their mother, escapes. And instead of just running away, saying, screw it, let the dude win, they're just like, nah, we're going to square up. They go ahead, they find this guy, and they battle through his army and battle him. And Hugo has like a wall of rats, and then they turn into a tornado of rats, and they're clashing rats with each other.
Giant rat fight.
Yeah, there's giant rat fights everywhere, and then like you have to protect yourself from all the rats, but Hugo can walk through all of the rats and they won't bother him at all. But it's like a kind of like a chaotic final battle, because Amicia will get eaten if she's like left alone without a bonfire or a torch. But you're also running away from Hugo's rats and the bad guys' rats, and you're trying to like help Hugo out. It's kind of chaotic. I know I'm making it sound very chaotic because it is.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Is their mom there?
Oh, no. They left the mom with Lucas.
Okay.
They just kind of just like, okay, we're all back together. And they just kind of yeet themselves away to like just take this dude down. Which we will see later on. That's a common theme between these two. And a couple of their friends that they made, like the orphans and the young blacksmith, they sacrificed themselves to keep the Rue siblings alive. But ultimately, Hugo overpowers the dude long enough for Amicia to get a clean shot off with her slingshot and kills him in one hit on the head.
Whoa.
And then after the kill, there's about 3 days later, all the rats in the plague has seemingly disappeared. Hugo's pretty much calmed down. So like the rats kind of go away when he's like not stressed and he's pretty calm. And it seems like life is starting to return to what it was before the plagues happened. So Hugo, Lucas, and their mom all get in a cart and they leave to go find a new home and try to live a normal life. And that is the end of the game, Plague's Tale: Innocence.
Okay, a couple thoughts or questions. So did they kind of provide an indication of like how this like plague started or how these like kind of rats started to like really eat people? Was it that like kind of Hugo just like the disease manifested in him and then all this shit started going down?
Yeah, basically the disease manifests in a person every so often, and then there's like different thresholds the person goes through. The third threshold is like the most fatal, is like automatically fatal. The first threshold is what begins the plague. So when the plague starts, Hugo like basically has a seizure, and that's what causes the plague to start and basically kicks off the game. And then throughout the course of the game, Hugo will like, I really hated this mechanic in the first game. If you leave Hugo alone for too long, he starts freaking out. Because he thinks his sister abandoned him. So you've got to constantly have Hugo like near you, or
he's
else
he's 5 years old.
Yeah, he's 5 years old, but it, like have some more like self-preservation, kid. Like Jesus. You got a whole army trying to kill you. You got killer rats everywhere, and you decide you want to cry because I was like, hey, I need to go over here and do this action. I'll be back in 5 minutes. He's like, like, no, shut up.
One other thought that I have, like, has there been like a Mythbusters done on like slingshots or something? Because it really seems like slingshots in just like historical times can really mess people up. I mean, there's like this one here, like a single shot like killing someone, then there's, you know, of course the whole like David and Goliath, but like I'd love to see like Mythbusters out there for like slingshots and like historical slingshots. And
That's a good question. I will say a commit mechanic in this game and the other game is Amicia can only kill someone with the slingshot if they don't have a helmet on. So if they have a helmet, she can't knock them out and kill them. But if they have no helmet, it's like one hit, one kill.
Dang. Pretty good.
I don't know in reality if that's true. I want to say that's not true, but you probably won't feel great if a rock hits you straight in the head from a slingshot.
Yeah. True. I don't know.
That's just my guess. But yeah, that was Plague's Tale. Originally came out, I forgot to do this, but originally came out in May of 2019. It's been remade for the PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, and Nintendo Switch if you want to play it yourself. And yeah, outside of a few stealth encounters that pissed me off because Hugo's a little bitch, it was pretty good. It's pretty good. And the studio that did this was Asobo Studio.
What else did they do?
They made the game, a racing title called Fuel.
Okay.
I'm trying to think what else. I'm looking it up here. They made a lot of like movie related games. Like they made a game for WALL-E. They made a game for Up, Toy Story 3. Zoo Tycoon, apparently, in 2017.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. But this is probably like their most famous one. And then the latest one that they did was the sequel to A Plague's Tale Innocence, which is Plague's Tale Requiem.
Okay.
Which we will cover on the next episode of The Running Gamer, because I need to stretch out more episodes. But thank you everyone for listening. Hope you like and subscribe anywhere you find your local podcast. You can tweet at me how angry you are that I'm splitting this up into two episodes instead of one. As well as we have Patreon if you want to support, not just for myself, but most of my guests are reoccurring and they would like to receive some compensation for me holding them hostage in the middle of the night. So feel free to drop a $2. It adds up very quickly for us. I'm sure Chris will be very, very grateful.
And, wait, you guys are getting paid?
And on that note, thank you all for listening. We'll see you all next time. Bye-bye.